This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
We're talking on the Rainbow Report today about mental health. With me in the studio, I've got Rob Mitchell, Ros Ward from the Safe Schools Coalition, and Daniel Jackson from the AFL Players Association. And I'm really sorry to have sort of cut you all off in mid-flow there, but, you know, needs must. You were saying, Daniel, that you were pleased to see that there was an idea being put out there for what AFL could do from here on in.
Yeah,
with a diversity round.
Yeah, something like a diversity round, I think, would be a great idea to integrate, all the things that the AFL say they're encompassing. So whether it's a racial, or the homophobia issue, or the, you know, they've already got the women's round and things like that. But that's, to me, we have a round for everything, it seems, these days. Why not have a diversity one?
No pygmies yet.
Not yet. Include them in yet, there.
But we're working on that. Now, you mentioned earlier on about going into schools and things. Now, Ros, how important is it that we have role models like Daniel going into schools and talking about this sort of thing?
Well, I think it can make a massive difference. And I really, appreciate AFL players doing that kind of thing and talking about diversity. And I remember last year with the Idaho campaign, you know, using those slides when talking to young people, showing them the pictures of AFL players. And that was the thing where they all sort of sat up and said, oh, right, okay. I think that does help. But, we can't have that happening every day. So we do have to have something that's more...
Let's talk about what you do with the Safe Schools Coalition. First off, what is it?
So it's a project that's a partnership between Rainbow Network Victoria and the Foundation for Young Australians, which is a national not-for-profit organisation. And we are a coalition of schools who support gender and sexual diversity. And
So is this government supported?
This is funded by the Department of Education in Victoria. And we have got now our 30th school just joined this week. And what we do with those schools is give them as much promotion as we can and recognition for their willingness to sort of stand up and say that they support gender and sexual diversity. And then we give them a whole range of support to try and put some of the good policy that we have in this state into practice in schools.
Okay, so supposing my school, so imagine I'm a headmaster, not difficult, I know. suppose my school joins the Safe Schools Coalition. What happens next?
We go and talk to the school, see what they're doing to challenge homophobia in that school and support sexual diversity, and then we see what they want to do next. So it's a really flexible, tailored approach for each school because we know how much pressure there is on schools to do a whole range of different things. So we don't want to create heaps of hurdles. We really want schools to stand up and get involved in this. We offer whole school professional development for staff. We offer resources, book lists for the library, very simple things like making sure you can access particular websites on school computers, resources for young people, and networking these schools together so that they can, learn from and support each other.
Yeah, because a lot of schools sort of get up and say, well, we don't need this kind of thing because there's nobody gay at our school.
Yeah,
same
way
some people say there's nobody gay in our AFL team. This is an opt-in thing, isn't it? So
yes.
The school itself has to actually acknowledge that it wants to tackle this issue first. Why is it an opt-in rather than an opt-out for Victorian schools?
Well, we want it to be a positive thing. And actually, from the 30 schools that have joined the coalition, they have said in absolutely every single case, all they've had is positive feedback from their school community, from students, from parents, from teachers to say, this is fantastic. We're really proud to have a school in our community that is standing up to say that they support sexual and gender diversity. They recognise that it's there, not just in the students, but in the staff, in the parents. And, they're proud to be on that list of schools. And we think it should be the case that schools are proactive and not just have, the policy is there. Every school has been sent the Supporting Sexual Diversity in Schools policy. Every principal knows that it exists. The Department of Education has it all over their website and all of that. But we do want schools to actually be putting it into practice. So that does take some kind of proactive steps. So joining the coalition is one of those steps, and we really encourage schools to do that. But I do think that it has to be something that schools, stand up and be accounted for, really.
Well, I was at a round table recently with Minister Mary Waldridge, and we'll be talking to later on, and you were there as well.
I was.
And one of the things that was very interesting about the conversation that was going around the table, everyone was putting in their bids, so to speak, but the ministerial staff seemed very interested in safe schools because you could actually show in black and white the difference that you make when you go into a school, the improvement not just for the gay students, but for the whole student body. Can you give us an outline of what that is?
Well, we know the difference it makes when a school is not supportive. That's the main evidence that we have at the moment. I mean, the Safe Schools Coalition program has only been running, well, less than a year, so we haven't got a full evaluation, but we do know from every single teacher, and there's over 1,000 of them now that have been involved in the training, that this has made a really fantastic difference and gone away, giving them a sense that challenging homophobia is really worthwhile and makes a difference, and that can be very small ways, challenging homophobic language, you know, having a more inclusive curriculum, all of that. So,
because you said the level of bullying overall drops in these schools, not just bullying, homophobic bullying.
Yeah, and homophobic bullying doesn't just affect the 1 in 10 young people who are same-sex attracted. It affects, you know, people who have friends, family, anyone in their life, and that's more like 1 in 3 people who are close to somebody who's, you know, same-sex attracted or gender questioning. So, and even then, you know, you don't have to be gay to be faced with homophobic bullying in a school. It happens to a whole lot of people. So it is about that diversity.
Yes, I think I think we ought to mention that a lot of people get bullied for being gay, even if they're not. Because people take a look at them, they maybe have slightly effeminate mannerisms, or they're not interested in footy and they are interested in the sewing class or whatever, that they can be perfectly straight, but because they're not perceived to be straight enough, they get bullied for being gay.
Yeah, and there's an increasing number of young people in schools as well who are challenging conceptions of gender, who don't see themselves as fitting into the binary gender or questioning gender, or are transgender young people wanting to transition in school, and we have policy around that that schools are now having to implement, and they need some support. So I think that's being recognised by, you know, some people in this new government, which is fantastic. And for the Department of Education, what they are interested in is school performance and achievement. And of course, if you tackle homophobia, when 1 in 3 young people who are same-sex attracted face homophobia, say they can't concentrate in school, you know, 8% are dropping out of school because of homophobia, then this is clearly something that if we tackle, we're going to improve school performance in all the ways that, you know, everyone is interested in achieving.
Which in fact goes back to explaining why at the player level it doesn't happen in AFL clubs, because it would be something that would impact performance. And that's something you can't have, because all you're really interested in is how well does the guy play, how well does the team function, and you can't afford to have anything that gets in the way of the team functioning properly, can you?
No, absolutely not. And we tick all boxes, not just the physical side, but we've got a sports psychologist that everyone has to talk to at least every fortnight, and anyone that has an issue that might be, you know, simple as anxiety, or if they're suffering depression or something, they'll be seeing someone regularly. They're put onto others. The AFLPA provide a lot of extra resources, mm-hmm. that kind of thing, because you're right, you can be 100% fit physically, but if you're not quite right in the head at that time, it might warrant you only being able to perform at 70% of your capacity, because you're just not concentrating. So all these issues need to be addressed.
So in fact, you can't afford to have homophobia in your teams.
Well, no, that, it wouldn't help.
it's as simple as that, Rob.
I was just wondering, with the work that you're doing in schools and so on, obviously this foray into mental health, you know, with the three of you is excellent. Is there anything in particular that do you think that's sort of prompted the three of you? Obviously, you know, you've got this interest in mental health and wellness, which is something critically important to you at the elite level. Is that one of the reasons why you want to get that across to sort of, you know, when you're out there, you know, speaking to school kids? You know, it's not just a matter of looking good or, you know, being physically fit, but this idea that mental health is actually really important.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose the reason it attracted me, and I know for Nick, he'd actually studied and worked, I think already done some work in Headspace. For me, I'm involved in a business where I go and talk to schools, and I've always had a passion talking to schools about talking to kids about dealing with things like having a good work-life balance, dealing with anxiety, understanding different emotions when it comes to stressful times in your life. When I was in year 12, I'd been drafted already. I was at Richmond. I had to do my year 12 VC studies. My parents had high expectations of me. There's all these different expectations, and it became a little bit overwhelming, and I suffered from a fair bit of anxiety myself. And at that age, I had no idea what was going on in my head, so it made it worse. And so when we sat down with the Headspace guys and they explained what they did, it just seemed like like a perfect fit that I could go tell my story and also just pass on the lessons that I've learned after an 8 years of a football career. I study at uni as well, so you accumulate so many different things from talking to different people.
That's the other thing. I mean, you're in a crazy, crazy business. I mean, the AFL, it really is. You know, it's a real hothouse. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the average playing time, you know, the average is less than 3 years. Mm. So you sort of, you know, you come from, you know, quite often from high school, and then you sort of just put into this. You know, I think in some aspects of it, it's a bloody circus. And then you have to try and make sense of it. And then, of course, you don't know how long your career is, because quite often, you know, most of the time, you don't choose when it ends.
And at that young age, too, your mind is still developing. Your brain is still developing.
Yeah. You haven't got those experiences to deal with. You know, you don't understand people's expectations. All of a sudden, your name's in the paper and on websites and you're on TV. Everyone has an opinion of you. So I've just turned 25 and my skin's a little bit thicker, I think it'll be thicker every year that I've gone on. But at 17, it wasn't particularly thick. So any bad press or any negative comment I heard, I took personally. And it's only taken a number of years to actually develop that, you know, that filter that says that's someone else's opinion. I can't change that. And so being able to go to a school and say, look, whether it's a message of diversity or whether it's simply a message of you're going to have times that are tough, you need to make sure you have some measures in place. I think it's a very important one.
And we've got a message in here from Tess who says, guys and Roz, this is a great discussion. Let's hope the AFL get a podcast of the show and start to understand we are people too. So thanks for that, Tess. Yeah, well, in a moment we're going to dive and try and get hold of Minister for Mental Health, Mary Waldridge, and because she's the woman who's got all this money to hand out. Now, Roz, you're hoping to get some of this money for the Safe Schools program, aren't you?
That would be nice, yeah. Our program is due to run out of funding on the 30th of June, and, you know, we got a lot of good feedback from it, and we've got good feedback from that roundtable, so we now know the $4 million is there, it's in the budget, but we still have no idea how it's going to be spent or what that process is going to be. So it'd be great if the Minister can answer some of those questions in a minute.
Yeah, well, it would be nice if we could also get Martin Dixon on as well, now that he's having to have a look at Access Ministries. Maybe he can stop paying them so much money and free up some for you.
Well, we're hoping to, we're talking to Access Ministries to see whether they want us to provide some professional development for their chaplains in supporting sexual diversity. So keep your eye out for that, that'll be interesting.
Well, that would be a good way to go, wouldn't it? Combine the two things in one.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.